material to cover today in a very short amount of time. As you all know, I can get a bit long-winded, especially since I haven't been up in front of you in a while. I have two left. Everybody have one? Okay. So just a quick story. So I was in Portugal and Spain, and so I printed out all my material, and I was reading on the plane, and it was really good for me. It was just a good time, and I felt very comfortable. So then Sunday, I was live streaming the service, and David taught my material. So it was wonderful. It's like, wow, this sounds so familiar. I'm like, well, this is great. And then I realized that I'd brought the previous week's material with me on my trip. So you did a great job. You did better than I would have done, David. So now I have to go back. And so I hope I'm doing the right class. Class 4, is that right? Okay, good. And I'm sweating. So this is not good. Okay, I'm going to pray just so I can calm down a little bit. And then we're going to go over today or continue our class on suffering for the glory of God. And today's class is titled, God's Grief Over Suffering. So let's pray again. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be here, gathered with your children, with our family, just talking about you, and that we can be joyful in all things, even through suffering. Lord, it's been an extremely difficult week for this church family and in this community. But Lord, all through the week, you just see your hand moving. And it's just incredible that you would continue to show us mercy, continue to work in our hearts joy. We thank you for your grace, Lord, because it is sufficient. And so would you help us as we discuss suffering today? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you look at the title for our class this morning, it's God's Grief Over Suffering, and it's really the empathy of a suffering God. So let me move this back. Of all the gods worshipped in this world, there's really only one God who has suffered. This is at the same time the grand absurdity and the grand wonder of the Christian faith, that we serve a God who has suffered. He's walked that road. He understands. He knows us. And his sufferings bring comfort in our weakness. So the first question we're going to answer today is, how does the fact that Christ suffered help us in our own suffering? Well, in the first 3 weeks of the class, we've seen laid out the logical framework of thinking through suffering, okay? God doesn't owe us an explanation for our suffering. Instead, he's called us to faith. And so in week one, the many purposes we see for suffering in the Bible, or we saw the many purposes for suffering in the Bible, the reality of heaven and hell. Week two and three, we saw that really the meat or the reason for that faith. And while I'll definitely stand here and say that all of this is absolutely rock solid, sometimes it can feel a little hard or a bit stern, especially when it rubs against the very human condition of suffering. So today we're going to look at the empathy of our suffering God, because as we learn how well he understands us, and that can cause us to trust him all the more. So as we explore this topic, we'll begin with a brief look at the substance of that suffering in the person of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to go through Hebrews 4, try and unpack that for you in a very short period of time. which really, I guess, in summary, says that because of his suffering, Christ understands us. And then we're going to look at 1 Peter 2, and that gives us Christ's suffering as an example. So how has God suffered? Well, in the person of Jesus Christ, and most supremely at the cross. Not just under the hands of people, but under the wrath of God. He suffered and died a horrible death in our place so that God could show mercy to sinners. And so for the rest of the class today, we're going to talk about how we can experience the mercy of God, because when we suffer, what we need most is mercy. But first, we need to recognize that God's mercy to us as sinners could never come without Christ's suffering on the cross. We all know that God is just. And we all have sinned against him. This means we deserve punishment, not mercy. But how do we get mercy? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 puts it this way. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus didn't simply suffer as an example or as an inspiration, while both of those are true, he suffered in our place. He suffered what we deserve. And so his suffering as a substitute purchases our ability to even considering suffering as a source of comfort and as an example. It purchases our ability to even consider to the rest of what we're going to talk about today. And because of Jesus' suffering, our own suffering makes us fit for heaven rather than simply being a down payment on hell. But most importantly, his suffering was for us. And we'll also talk about how beyond that, it's an example and a comfort. So one aspect of suffering that can feel unbearable is a sense of being alone, right? We've all been through some difficult times in our lives. And it's really unbearable when you feel like you're the only one going through that. Solomon writes this. He says, two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one and has not another to lift him up. Think of what suffering's like when no one understands. When no one's been through it before. No one can help you up. Yet no matter how alone you may feel in your suffering, when we come to the cross, we find a God who can empathize. And by empathize, I'm just going to define sympathy versus empathy real quick. Sympathy is when you feel for someone. But empathy is when you know from experience what they're going through. And the amazing thing about the Christian God is not that he just sympathizes. He truly empathizes. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 14, 15, and 16. And you could just hang out there. If you're writing your Bibles, go ahead and underline that. So I'm going to read it here. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. in his incarnation, Jesus walks in our shoes. This is another reason why he's able to help us when we are suffering. John Stott wrote something, I mean, it's highly fictional, but I think it really emphasizes the point, so I'm just going to read it here. He writes this. He says, "Some shrank back, but others objected. Can God judge us? How can he know about suffering?" snapped one woman who had suffered in a Nazi concentration camp. "We endured terror, beatings, torture, death." Others agreed. "What did God know of weeping, hunger, and hatred?" "God leads a sheltered life in heaven," they said. Someone from Hiroshima, people were born deformed, others murdered, each sent forward a leader. They concluded that before God could judge them, he should have to endure sufferings as they did. And they pronounced the sentence. And they said this. They said, "Let him be born a Jew. Let the legitimacy of his birth be doubted. Let his close friends betray him. Let him face false charges. Let a prejudiced jury try him and a cowardly judge convict him. Let him be tortured and utterly alone, then bloody and forsaken. Let him die." Well, the room grew silent after the sentence against God had been pronounced. No one moved, and a weight fell on each of their faces, for suddenly all knew that God had already served his sentence. So now going back to the fuller passage in Hebrews, you're going to see in your handout here, right on the inside of your front cover, we're going to go over four pieces, how we can see exactly how God has empathy in our suffering and how this brings us comfort. So the first, we see that Jesus understands our weaknesses. So much of the difficulty of suffering comes when we feel that God is asking us to do more than is humanly possible. But guess what? God became a human. He understands. That's the beauty of the incarnation. There's like a ton of practical applications. I'm sorry, we really don't have time to go through all of them today. But here's one. As one writer has put it, virtually every psalm is either about the Messiah or by the Messiah. This comes from Ancient Love Song by Charles Drew. It says this. So Psalm 1, for example, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Surely no one but Jesus could ever have said that. Or Psalm 22, words that were written for Jesus to use. "They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me." Or, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, many of the Psalms describe the suffering of Jesus. And we can also use these psalms as we walk through our own suffering as the words of the one who has already walked through it before us. Jesus was weak. And through the psalms, he explores faith in weakness. And so Jesus understands our weakness. And we can use the psalms too in those times when we feel alone, when we feel like we're suffering, when we are weak, to encourage our hearts. Another thing we see in Hebrews chapter 4 is that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. Notice that it doesn't say that Jesus had suffered in every way that we have, but that he has been tempted in every way. Well, if suffering is most essentially a struggle for faith, and faith is a struggle against temptation, well, that means that Jesus has experienced the crux of every trial that you will ever face. Whether it's breakups, whether it's death, whether it's the loss of something, jobs, security, lives. It doesn't matter. He was tempted in every way. Yet he was without sin. So we can trust his wisdom in our suffering. Does he call you to be abandoned or persecuted, crushed? He's experienced all that and more. He knows exactly what he is doing. And he knows exactly how it feels. And we can trust him. The next piece is that he was without sin. Tempted in every way, yet without sin. He never gave in. In fact, he's actually been tempted in ways that we never have. Temptation usually ceases when we give in to it. Jesus never gave in. There was a life of continual temptation, yet without sin. And so the last point, 1 Peter today, says this, says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. So what's the application for these truths? Perseverance in prayer. There's your practical application. We can approach the throne of grace boldly, remembering Romans 8:26. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And so we can remember that the Spirit who intercedes for us is the same God who suffered at the cross on your behalf. So what's the point of all of that? Look back in Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 14. What does that say? Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And so suffering, it's a battle for faith. This is why he tells us to hold firmly to the faith that we profess. And God's empathy towards us in our suffering is comfort to help us to trust him. I'm going to read you a quote from Tim Keller. It says this, if we ask the question, why does God allow evil and suffering to continue, and we look at the cross of Jesus, we still do not know what the answer is. However, we know what the answer isn't. It can't be that he doesn't love us. It can't be that he's indifferent or detached from our condition. No, God takes our misery and our suffering so seriously that he was willing to take it on himself. So if we embrace the Christian teaching that Jesus is God and that he went to the cross, then we have deep consolation and strength to face the brutal realities of life on this earth. And so at the cross, we see what kind of God we are trusting, a God who understands. He's not cold and indifferent. Actually, in fact, Psalm 56 says that he cares so much that he counts every toss and turn at night, and he catches every tear in a bottle. And so we serve a God who cares deeply, one who suffered greatly. And when we're walking through times of suffering, we can find great comfort in the fact that he's been there. He knows. He loves us. And he's there. I don't think it would be fair to not include, well, not in the material. Not only is he all those things, but he's behind it all. He's causing all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And at times of suffering, it's kind of difficult to see the good in that. But the ultimate good is that he's conforming us into the image of Christ. And most suffering that I've experienced in my life, walking through it is very difficult. But when I look back on it, I can see the tremendous growth, the encouragement, just the wonder of God's hand moving in and through all of that. And so this week, as we've experienced some significant loss, and Kurt and little Wellington and now Betty, you can still see God's hand behind all of it. He's a good God. And he's suffered in many ways, in every way. so he can empathize. So trust them. Let's pray. Our good and gracious Father, we are amazed at your goodness towards us. That even though we experience loss and pain, you're there, always. You've been so merciful to us. We know that we've sinned against you, against your character, against your law, and that we deserve punishment. Yet you give us life and breath and joy and all these things. We don't deserve any of it. Even though while we were still sinners, you would send your son to die for us. And he was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, because we couldn't do it. But even though we were your enemies, you made us your children. We thank you. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be joyful in all things, to be thankful in all situations. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.